We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. So how are those New Year's resolutions going? If you're like most of us and most of the rest of the country, your determination to exercise more, to eat healthier, to lose weight, or to even get better rest isn't as strong as it was on January 1st. And by the second week of February, about 80% of us who make resolutions have failed. So when did this whole New Year, New You tradition start? Simon Bronner is an expert in folklore and the dean of UW-Milwaukee's College of General Studies. He says that celebrating the new year with reflection and setting of intentions is thousands of years old. Bronner joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski for our regular Fit for You segment, and he began by explaining how Greek and Roman customs have largely influenced the way we celebrate the new year and set our resolutions.
There are many global traditions regarding the new year and change in ourselves that will reflect the change in the calendar. But in terms of the New Year resolution tradition, many people will look to Greek and Roman customs because of the idea that the modern calendar that we have owes to that mythology and the idea of January having a connection to Janus, who is the god of beginnings and ends. And so this is a time, especially if you, during that time of a mythology, that we would be thinking about what has passed and what we want for the future.
So it was more of a secular tradition and making sacrifices to a deity in the Roman times?
Well, I would say it would magico-religious because of the mythology that's oriented to it. It has a secular aspect because of adapting to change, and we want to do things not only to celebrate that change, hopefully to push us forward toward that change, which sometimes can be uncomfortable, but also in making changes in ourselves.
Now, would you say goals back in these, say, the first versions of New Year's resolutions were more community orientated or just long-term goals versus the personal well-being we see it focused on in modern times?
I think that's a great question because it's not as if the traditions are the same that they were in ancient times for now. I mean, the big difference is the individualism that has grown, particularly in modern complex societies. And you're right that what we think of as classical societies often were more communal or community-oriented. So many of these aspects were social. They were things that groups were expected to do together and thinking about those kinds of units. And the attitude toward making resolutions and change has increased because of the idea that part of individualism, if that's part of the freedom that we gain in a modern society, is also making decisions for yourself and then sometimes taking it upon your own shoulders to be able to make those changes rather than to rely on others.
So when do you think this started to shift? Were there any cultures that kind of stemmed this initiative to look more inward when it comes to marking the new year and celebrating it?
Well, we do have the Chinese and Lunar New Years that are going to be coming up in the not too distant future. And there's, I would say, much more of a social aspect to it than in the American New Year celebration as we tend to know it in popular culture. There's, of course, the popular culture of the dragon and the parades and so forth. But another aspect of it is getting symbolic coins in these red packets, and red is a symbol of life, and it's supposed to allow for wishes toward the future, but then the person is supposed to make those wishes with that knowledge that one has, and hopefully with some kind of divine intervention.
Are there any other cultural or folklore of New Year's resolutions that you find particularly fascinating or one of your favorites that you've come across and researched?
Well, I am familiar, particularly in my research, with Pennsylvania German traditions, and there are also a lot of German traditions in Wisconsin in addition, and people who migrated from Pennsylvania of German background. And one of the aspects that I was looking into was this idea of shooting in the new year. I'm not advocating getting out your guns and shooting, but in many of the rural communities, it was a tradition, especially for the young people, to shoot guns on New Year's Eve. And then it was often accompanied, it wasn't just the shooting, but it was often accompanied by knocking on farmhouses. And you would do a kind of humorous skit that in other traditions might be called mumming, although they didn't dress up in costume as we think of with the Irish mumming tradition. But it also often involved good wishes toward the future and this process of using the new year to extend wishes, I see very much as a part of that. And it was very community oriented. I mean, you could say this is now an invasion of privacy, but in these sure. communities, as they saw it, it was a form of community bonding. You knew the people who you were knocking their doors, and it was also a way to connect and from the year-to-year ritual cycle, see how they, in fact, have matured and what their wishes have come to fruition.
Now, I think maybe the only communal aspect that is done the most nowadays is just the simple phrase of saying Happy New Year. It doesn't go much beyond that. And then it's reliant on us, if we do set goals, to implement them. And as many as 45% of Americans say they usually will make a New Year's resolution. But by the end of the year, only about 8% are keeping these goals. So would you say that the way Americans now implement New Year's resolutions and tradition is uniquely Western? And, you know, it's not a very good success rate. So why do we keep on doing this to ourselves?
It's not. I would say a lot has to do with the season and also with the time of year, not just the weather kind of season, but also the nature of the celebration. The fact is that popular culture has a strong influence on our daily lives, but there is this notion that around that time of year when there is a lot of darkness, that we seek celebrations, we seek hope for the future through celebrations of light, customs related to joy and getting out because of the idea that you're homebound a lot more. And it is a time to socialize. And I think there is this notion, therefore, that you're not only feeling guilty perhaps about the way that you celebrated, and so you need to make resolutions, but you're also taking advantage of, ironically, a compensation with a lot more sociability than you would have otherwise. But then we go back to our individual lives, and it's often more difficult to keep the resolutions without social support and with daily practice. There are many people who think that you make a resolution and they're thinking of it psychologically, I'm just going to decide to do this. But there's this cultural aspect, too, that you got to be able to repeat it. Just saying, I'll do it on the weekend, and then the weekend comes, you don't do it, and then you end up not doing it for the month. Right?
Yeah.
And so there is this notion of the changing of your routine, which is also what the new year is about. It's a change in the calendar signaling a change in the way that you, in fact, do things.
A lot of the most common resolutions revolve around people's bodies, whether it's exercising more, eating healthier, losing weight. And as you mentioned, it's a very human drive for self-improvement around this time of year. But I can't help but think that it's also just a period that's turned into a prime opportunity for marketers.
Yes, there is a parody of the old folklore of where there's a will, there's a way, to say that where there's a will, there's a business that will find a way.
Yes.
And that's also part of our commercial culture. I mean, you could say that it's also a response to individualism because people need help. If they don't have the community structures of their religion, their community, their families, and so forth, the way they did, especially in a mobile society, so that we seek advisors, we seek help in this commercial structure, although there's evidence from especially people in the healthcare industry that when you seek social support rather than commercial support, you tend to be more successful. Many people in the spirit of the new year will want to totally remake themselves rather than thinking, as you're talking about, of maybe changing some habits.
Right, and the power of turning resolutions into goals rather than ultimatums, because goals are a little more specific with a little perhaps wiggle room, some forgiveness towards yourself or a little leniency, whereas when we make resolutions, it's very broad and vague, and it's more about the willpower and depriving yourself. And I doubt anyone gets excited about doing that to themselves.
I think that's really a good insight because, again, it points to lifestyle and the importance of health, particularly because most people have a sedentary lifestyle in a modern society, and many of the goals are not only related to the body, as you have indicated, but also that they raise questions about life goals in addition to immediate goals of your health. And the big ones are usually with those things that we think of as being addictive. So food, money, or shopping, alcohol, those kinds of things. But the bigger picture or the bigger context is, why are they a part of our daily lives and what are we doing? That may get us more philosophical, which is probably not the view of the holiday, but it's supposed to at least make you think about what you've done as well as what you're going to do in the future. And another modern aspect that has been, I think, a function of our modern society is we tend to think more of the future rather than reflecting on the past. We sing Auld Lang Syne, which is supposedly about things not being forgotten, but the fact is we're usually singing it thinking of the meaning of what are we going to do in the future.
I would like to go into that a little bit more because of the psychological impact that New Year's resolutions can have on men, but also especially women, because women are most often the ones being targeted the most by companies and marketers. And you could be reading an article about more, quote, wellness-based goals versus diet goals. And then on the right-hand side of the page, you're going to see ads for various supplements or services and all these things that are taking advantage of a time of year where they don't have much competition elsewhere.
There are gender aspects of the holiday and of making resolution. There's no doubt about it. And part of that, again, getting back to popular culture, I don't think it's a profound claim to make that women generally are affected more about their body appearance than men are. Some of that, many people are saying, are changing with views of the man's body and the ideal kind of muscular view, but women through magazines, through the idea of and the concept of beauty, certainly probably feel the impact of making resolutions and maintaining some kind of ideal more so than men. And there is a psychology that may not be obvious, but nonetheless has an impact upon their lives. And that is, I think, the reason, as you say, a lot of marketers are talking or making the rhetoric of resolutions, especially with beauty products, for example, or things that will slim you down. And there's, I know, some criticism that some of that slimming is not necessarily healthy, but it's to make an appearance, which raises then a general point for both men and women, that a lot of the resolutions that were part of cultural celebrations that we've discussed before were on behalf of the community and what the community needs to do, whereas with some of the postmodern kinds of traditions. They're not only individualistic, but they're related to what other people think of us as individuals. And that's not the best motivation for making change that, again, psychologists and folklorists tend to give the advice that if you want to make those changes, then you should probably do things for yourself, not because you think somebody else wants you to do that.
Exactly. Do you think our perspective and value in New Year's traditions and resolutions should shift? Do you think that we've gone away from the ideal way of marking a time to renew, to be anew?
As someone who studies customs, I see functions for them that have changed. And if I was to apply some of my research, I would say to perhaps, if not revive, to revitalize some of those kinds of functions as they were meant to be, to not only think about changes that we need to make for ourselves, but for the community, and also to be able to use that to reflect on the past, which is supposed to be part of the season. January, as I said, is named after the god of beginnings and ends, but we tend to think of the ends a lot more than the beginnings, and that can help frame our place in the world a lot better.
Simon Bronner, thank you so much for enlightening us about this.
Thank you. It's been great to be here and to talk to you.
Simon Bronner is the dean of UW-Milwaukee's College of General Studies, and he is an expert in folklore. He spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski for our Fit for You segment, and you can find more of those at WUWM.com. We'll take one last break, and then a noted filmmaker takes a turn as a poet in a new collection written when he was an expectant father. We will hear from that collection when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR.